Welcome to the Indie Autographs Podcast. All right, it's time once again for another episode of the Indie Autographs Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It is true. It is I, Brian Herbert, your host. I'm with you again for another discussion on all things autograph collecting. And as we've tried to do here in previous episodes, we're going to continue with our educational series, if you will, and try to open you up to some new horizons, things you haven't tried before in collecting, or tap some things that maybe you tried before and have forgot about for a while. And you know, the goal of every episode here on the podcast is to keep you interested and excited about collecting autographs, to get you out there doing more through the mail, in person, or in whatever format best suits you, but most importantly, just to keep spreading the hobby around. So today I'm excited. We're going to talk about custom cards and custom pieces. It's something that for me has been a very addictive part of the hobby. We talked previously about things like set collecting, stuff that I was just getting into more and had limited experience with, but custom cards are right up my alley, something that I truly enjoy making. And so if you haven't done this before and you haven't tried it, hopefully today's episode will give you a little insight into the process and get you motivated to get out there and give it a shot. Real quickly, just to make a couple notes about things, we wanted to let people know that we are going to do our first giveaway during this episode, so be sure to listen to the interview we have upcoming with me and Scott Brady. Scott's a longtime collector who does custom work and makes his own custom trading cards for a wide range of different things. And so we're going to visit with Scott here in a few minutes, and he'll share some of what makes this an exciting part of the hobby for him. And so we're going to do a giveaway based on that, and during our interview you'll hear some more information about that. And so I invite you to listen to find out the ways that you can get involved with the show. Also getting involved with the show, we of course want to hear from you. So if you have questions or feedback, whether it's ideas for new episodes, if you've got a unique aspect or expertise in the hobby and you want to contact me and let us know so we can get you interviewed for a future episode, then by all means, we want to hear from you. If you've got a unique piece in your collection or a great story, or perhaps you just have a good idea for an episode for us to cover on a future episode, make sure that you get a hold of us. And how do you do that? You can do that first by going to facebook.com, search for Indie Autographs, and like our Facebook page there. And number two, you can of course do that by emailing us at indie, which is INDY, autographs@gmail.com. So we definitely want your comments and feedback. We always want to make the show better, and we want to know what's on your mind. So by all means, please feel free to reach out. Like I said, we are going to talk about custom collecting today, and custom collecting I find is a lot of fun, and I think what it does, and I think universally you'll hear this when I talk to Scott, is what it does is I think it opens up avenues sometimes for people who you otherwise wouldn't be able to collect because there isn't a trading card or something that exists for them, and also because sometimes folks don't like to sign trading cards or images. But when you put a unique spin on it by making it into a custom piece, then I think you sometimes can get results that you wouldn't get otherwise. And so that, I think, is one of the fun parts about it. And I definitely would say that being able to make a trading card for somebody who doesn't have one is a lot of fun as well. So it's something that I've been doing for quite a while. As a matter of fact, Scott has helped me out on a couple designs, but I would say that if you haven't tried it yet, by all means, give it a shot. Essentially, you can make a custom piece out of anything. Now, I tend to stick to the traditional and make my custom pieces custom trading cards. So I have several templates that I've created that are the size of an actual trading card, and I will put those together for whatever is on my mind at the time. And you can put as much or as little effort into them as you want. Obviously, I've seen a lot of people make custom 8x10 pieces, custom index cards, kind of you name it. What I've tried to do is I've tried to take some classic trading card designs that I really enjoy and turn those into trading cards for maybe some off off-topic or off-beat things, such as I sought a way, and I think we're all always, if you have a spouse or a significant other, you're always looking for a way to stay out of the doghouse with all of your autograph collecting. And so a couple of years back, my wife is a big fan of the show Dancing with the Stars, and so I made my first custom set as a collection of about 50% of the cast, because I started kind of mid-season. I made custom trading cards for half the cast members, dancing celebrities, dancers, and judges for the Dancing with the Stars show. Mailed them off, sent them over to the ABC studios over in California, and was fortunate enough to get half a dozen or so of those back, which was pretty good success, especially when it was midway through the season and a lot of people had been eliminated at that point. And that kind of launched into one of the real addictions for me, which is making these custom training cards. I've put together custom cards for television shows like Sons of Guns. I've put together custom cards for the Indiana University men's basketball team. And my most ambitious set so far is a set of over 50 cards that I put together. I call it the Great American Set. It's a unique design, and it says Great Americans across the front. As a matter of fact, I'll try to remember to post one on the show notes for the blog entry here so you can take a look at what it looks like. But I made a set of cards that I call the Great American Set. I wanted a new challenge outside of sports, and so while I was racking my brain, I thought, who'd be some good folks in a wide range of areas to take a look at? And as I started formulating that list, and the list grew and grew, I finally got to 50 plus cards that I thought represented some truly great Americans. In that set, I've got politicians, I've got military heroes, Medal of Honor winners, I've got some musicians, I've got Nobel Prize winners, I've got actors and actresses, comedians, kind of you name it. It runs the gamut, but it was a truly custom set of cards that I created. I've also got some notable CEOs and business leaders in there. And for this, I put a lot of hours in this. I actually made backs to all these cards as well. And so not only does the card have a front that looks like a trading card, it has a back. I cut them out, glue them together, send them off. I usually send two at a time and ask the celebrity or the personality that if they would like to keep one for themselves, I would appreciate one back, would be wonderful. And sometimes I get both back, and sometimes they keep one. I've had some folks request me to send them more and things like that. So it's been a lot of fun. I will also say that I think what makes it so exciting and interesting is the aspect that most of these people don't have any trading cards, have never had trading cards in their life, and it's fun for them to see it. I've gotten some nice notes back and compliments about the cards, and I've had a couple people say, hey, these cards are really great, could you send me some more? And that, I think, is some truly fun interactions that you can have with some great celebrities or professional athletes. And so it's been a fun set to collect. It's a challenge. I've gotten about 60% of them back, which is probably in lines with your traditional through the mail resources. But of course, I don't want to just play the percentages. I want to get a completed set. So we're going to go through round two and try to get some creative ways to get those other ones signed so I can eventually someday have a completed set there. I've also made a custom card set for the inaugural roster of the 1967-68 St. Louis Blues hockey team. Growing up in St. Louis, I'm a big Blues fan, and I thought what a fun way to commemorate that original team and put together a complete set of trading cards. And that was a bit of a challenge, I'll tell you, because there's a couple of folks who are deceased. I did opt not to make their cards because I knew there wouldn't be a possibility of getting them signed. I may make the cards down the road if I have a complete set just to have them. And finding images for a few of those guys was a challenge as well, because some of them didn't play very long in the league and weren't on the Blues for very long. So it was a challenge to put together the set, but I was able to do so. And I've gotten actually 80% of the ones that I sent out back on those, and I'm about 2/3 of the way through the set sending them out. So it's a lot of fun. And it doesn't, as Scott's going to talk about with us in a minute, it doesn't take a tremendous amount of expertise. What it does take is a little bit of creativity and a large fun for the hobby. And I think if you haven't tried it before, you're going to get excited. I use Photoshop, and I've made myself some templates for different styles of trading cards. Most of them are patterned after actual Topps trading cards over the year that I just happen to like that year's design. But I have a couple that are truly custom. And once you get them together, I open them up in Photoshop. I'm able to swap out the images. I'm able to change the text. I'm able to modify any piece of it that I want. So I can create different colored borders, backgrounds, and truly customize each particular piece. Like I did mention, I do have a trading card back template that I have as well. And it's one that I use just the one style. I don't have multiple styles for that. It is a little tedious, and I will say that for a lot of my cards that I send out in the custom piece arena, I don't make backs for them. I did choose to do that for that Great American set, and I'm glad I did, but it is a tremendous amount of work and obviously a lot of ink to get them printed. So if you have Photoshop, you also can use, there are some free software resources out there that I'm sure you can find easily that mimic and simulate Photoshop if you don't have that, but I use Photoshop for the most part. And if you want to get truly custom and you are artistic and you're aligned with the graphic design things, you can take a look at using things like Illustrator, and you can get as complicated as you want or as simple as you want. But if you know your basics around Photoshop, then I think you can get yourself on the road and be successful. Once I put them together, I tend, for the most part, to print them off at home myself. It's kind of up to you how you want to do it. Certainly, if you use Adorama or some of those resources that have sales from time to time to where maybe you can get it at a good deal, then you can print it somewhere else. But I print them myself. There's two schools of thought, just like there are with 8x10s or anything else, whether you want to do glossy or whether you want to do the matte finish or the semi-gloss finish. Any of them are acceptable. You may find, though, I'll just warn you that if you don't use glossy, semi-gloss usually is okay, but if you use a matte finish, you may find yourself that you need to go back and spray some sort of sealing agent, some sort of clear sealant over the top of the cards before you send them off in the mail. Be forewarned, it is a little lesson I learned early on. I made an awesome set of custom cards. They looked great. I didn't seal them, but I wanted to do like a matte finish so that they weren't too shiny or glossy, so it didn't run the risk of smudges with Sharpies. All of that in theory was a good idea. However, in practice, what I found was without sealing them before they went out, I mailed them protected by two blank index cards. I would get the cards back, and it had just smudged the ink from the actual card, not the signature, but the ink on the actual card had smudged and rubbed against itself on the envelope on the way there and on the way back. So by the time I got them back, they didn't look nearly as nice as they could have. So I tend to use glossy paper. Again, it's up to you. If you want that less sheen sort of look, then you may just need to look at sealing that ink in. Certainly what I'll say is the best thing when you print them off is to let them sit for a day, 24 hours. Don't stack them up. Let them lay out flat for 24 hours to go ahead and cure that ink as best you can. And then you can take a look at it and see what you may want to do at that point. But just a little tip that I learned, and I've made glossy since then. Haven't had issues with things coming back smudged or not signed correctly, and I haven't had any issues with the ink spilling over. So, kind of food for thought on my perspective. The sky's the limit, though, I'll tell you, with what you want to do. One of the aspects that I think is the most fun about it is taking a TV show that you're a big fan of, especially when shows are brand new. If you think back when American Pickers or Pawn Stars first came on the air, those are shows that folks got on board with and really liked real early on. Obviously not trading cards, not a lot of things for them. Before those guys got super busy and got too cool for school, that was a perfect time for you to make a custom piece, send it off to the shop, get it signed, and get it back. Obviously now you got those guys are super popular in demand all the time, constantly touring the country, meeting with fans. Not as easy to get stuff through the mail, but you have accessibility and ways to get to him, so you can still make those custom pieces and get them signed. When we talk to Scott in a minute here, Scott will let you know that he is obviously made some awesome sets for Pawn Stars and American Pickers as a couple examples. And he's going to share some insight into things, but I think he'll echo my same comments, which is that, you know, the great way to get things started is to get started with some of those new shows that you really like and make custom cards for the actors or the persons in reality TV that you really enjoy. So, well, I'm really excited to bring Scott into the show today. We're going to have a conversation about custom cards and custom pieces that people can collect autographs on. And so I wanted to bring in somebody who's got some significant experience in that area. And if you can just give folks a little bit of an idea, how long have you been collecting and what you typically like to collect, maybe the size of your collection, or just give us an idea. I think people are always curious to know, fellow collectors, what things you prefer or any special projects you work on.
Oh, sure thing. I've been collecting autographs since probably the late 80s. I think 88 was the year I got my first one. And like many people, it was through the mail. And I started that in college as something to do and as a hobby. And had collected baseball cards and other kind of trading cards for a number of years before that. So this was, I think, a natural progression for, you know, expanding on the collection. I guess in total over the years, I've accumulated probably just north of 20,000 autographed cards, and that's really what I focus on. I played around with autographed 8x10s and baseball bats and balls, but just found them too bulky to store, to display, so ended up concentrating just on trading cards, signed trading cards, and more recently have begun to work on trying to complete some signed sets.
And we did an episode previously on set collecting, and that's always a unique challenge and something that I think, as you sort of described, that you progressed from collecting trading cards into collecting signed trading cards. I think a lot of people start out collecting autographs and then move their way into set collecting. And so how has that been as a challenge for you? Do you enjoy the set collecting aspect of the hobby?
It's been actually a very unique challenge, and as I'm sure you're aware, it's, I guess, probably one of the more challenging aspects one can undertake in autograph collecting because of the sheer number of players on a particular set, and each of them have their own signing habits and may or may not be with us anymore. So that poses a problem for someone who's trying to complete a perfect set. And I have yet to do that. I've gotten very close on a couple sets, but there's always those key cards that elude you, that maybe the player was only alive for a short amount of time and only had opportunity to sign a handful of that particular card.
I think that's the fun and the frustrating part is that pursuit where you're sitting around waiting. Hey, I know there's only a handful of these, but one of them's got to come up for sale at some point, or how do I get my hands on it?
Exactly. It's, you know, I think the end game or the end goal is to, you know, to get that set completed and to know that, you know, in the world, how many other people could have accomplished completing that particular set. And, mm-hmm. Of course, there's certain sets that are more popular than each other, but I would still have to guess that, you know, of a particular set, there's maybe only 5, 6, 7 total complete signed sets of that set available anywhere. So to me, it's a real accomplishment to be able to get to that level of having a complete signed set.
Now, as a collector, are there any? Do you collect all sports? Are there any particular sports or sets that you like to collect above others?
Well, I mean, I started out like most people with collecting baseball. That was what I collected, trading cards, and went to some minor league games for the Cubs and Cardinals farm teams, and would collect signed minor league cards at those when the teams issued their team sets. And you know, that had always been the focus of my collection, and then expanded a little bit into football and hockey and basketball as my interests changed in watching those particular sports on television. And then as of lately, I expanded into some other sports. My daughters got involved in soccer, so we started actually collecting signed soccer cards together. And we actually sat down and watched a lacrosse game on ESPN2 last year, and they found it very interesting. So ran to the a local card show in Chicago and picked up a couple Upper Deck lacrosse sets, and now we're currently working on those.
And for folks who don't always collect some of those other sports, how have you found lacrosse and soccer to be? Are the players more receptive or open than other sports you see?
Lacrosse, definitely, because, I mean, it's an underappreciated sport, or just, you know, doesn't have a huge fan base. So if you're able to get a hold of them, they're still playing, still active, then they're very willing to sign and have even gotten some nice letters back from players that if, you know, my daughters have any questions about the sport or want to know how to get involved, that they'd be happy to help out, and they've included phone numbers and email addresses to contact them directly. And I can pretty well guarantee you that writing to a major league player, you wouldn't get that kind of response.
Right. No, and I think that's part of what makes the hobby fun is when you have the ability to, you know, interact with folks on that level. And and you know, lacrosse is, like you said, a newer sport out there. But one of the things that I think you touched on in your description of your collecting habits and stuff is the family involvement, and that's one of the things for me. I have a young family, young children, but they're just starting to get to the age where they pay attention and, you know, want to know, hey, what are you doing? And they help stuff the envelopes, and they look forward to running them out to the mailbox, and they always like to see when something comes back in the mailbox. And so I think for me, that's one of the rewarding parts too. When, you know, you get older, you get a family, obviously time becomes more precious. And so it's not always, I'm not able to devote as much to the hobby some days as I want because of that. But the rewarding fact is when you start to see, you know, your children get interested and get involved, and you're like, you know, hey, maybe I've got, you know, the next generation hooked for the future.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. For us, it's been very similar. And although I haven't gotten them as involved on the writing side of it, they do definitely enjoy running to the mailbox, both to mail them and put the flag up, or to see what's there for the day and help open them, and then and talk about the person that wrote back, and you know, what that, how that fits into the collection, how many more that's needed, you know, for the collection, et cetera. So it has been a great bonding experience and kept them interested in certain sports, maybe longer than they normally would, because they have this additional attachment to it.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. And so today what we want to talk about, I appreciate you giving us some insight into your collecting habits and what you collect. I think people are always interested to know that with our guests. But I want to talk about custom card collecting. And I think if you can describe a little bit of your maybe professional or background outside of the hobby has sort of given you some experience or background in the custom card making. But if you can kind of just walk us through what got you started into making custom pieces.
Sure. Well, my background is in the printing industry. I owned a company in California for a couple decades that was a commercial printer. We printed on plastic and manufactured credit cards and ATM cards. One of our customers actually at the time was Upper Deck, and we had done some prototype stuff for them, and which was a nice bonus for me, having collected trading cards before, you know, I was involved with this company. So, you know, the printing technologies are pretty much the same whether you're printing on plastic or paper or any other kind of substrate. So that's my background, and I oversaw a team of graphic artists that were responsible for the design of cards. And oversaw manufacturing and basically was general manager of the facility. And, you know, picked up a lot of tools along the way over, you know, the past couple of decades of graphic design and computer design. And that really, as the printing technology for the home expanded, color inkjet printers, color laser printers, and dye sublimation printers and the sort, began experimenting with my own collection. Okay, how can I expand into areas that interest me, whether it be celebrity cards, Hollywood celebrities or television celebrities, or sports that maybe don't have cards, or players that have never had it issued a card, that kind of thing. So began playing around in the evenings on the computer as I began to learn Photoshop and Illustrator and all the industry standard graphic programs. And this would have been back in the mid-90s. And got my first color inkjet printer at home and began printing out a handful of cards for NASCAR. Now, at the time, there were a ton of NASCAR cards out there. It was super popular in the trading card realm, but they were quite expensive per pack. And there was only a handful of people that I was really interested in getting autographs of, and so pack buying really didn't make sense for me. So made a couple custom cards and started mailing out to NASCAR drivers and had great success. You know, that's another sport that's always had great return rates. And I guess it just blossomed from there.
And for people who haven't done this before but are thinking about it, I mean, do you have to be a graphic designer? Do you have to have, you know, a big artistic background? And what sort of tools or resources do people need to, you know, if they want to try this out, to be successful or to get started?
Absolutely not. The graphics background is not necessary. It helps. But there, thanks to technology and the advent of you know, better applications, better design software, and things like the iPad, the tools that people have to create things digitally have just exponentially grown. The very basic, when I began doing it, those tools weren't there. So, you know, we were drawing them in Photoshop and Illustrator and creating them from scratch. Nowadays, you know, everyone at home's got an inkjet printer or usually some type of color printer. Many of them have these all-in-one printers that have scanners on them. And many, you know, on the beginning level, really all you need is some type of graphics program. And that can be Photoshop if you can afford it. But there's some great freeware programs out there, such as GIMP. That's a great Photoshop clone. And it's free, it's open source, and you can scan your card using your scanner software, or scan a card using your scanner software, delete the information that you don't want on there, like a player's picture or name, and fill it in with your own picture or someone else, and start creating these custom tribute cards of very, very good quality because of the resolution of the scanner, and then just print them out at home. I guess the step beyond that would be to start designing your own cards. And I guess it does take a little bit of artistic ability to do that, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. I mean, these are things that probably don't have a lot of value on the secondary market. So you should be creating them for yourself, and if you're happy with them, then by all means, don't worry about creating the perfect card. Just create something that you like and you can say you made and hopefully the player signed.
And I think that's part of the fun, is not only that you're creating something that's unique and individual and you've spent the time and effort to put it, you know, all together. So I think that, one, that's the rewarding part of getting it back signed. But also I think, and you touched on it in there, it is unique and it's different and it's not a regular trading card. And so do you find yourself, are you mainly making these for people who don't have trading cards, so there isn't an option? Or do you find that sometimes somebody who isn't maybe as interested in signing, you know, you touched on the fact that, like, there's not a lot of value in the secondary market because the reality is, you know, this doesn't exist. I made it. It's not an Upper Deck card or whatever.
Right.
So do you find that, does it open up more doors for you that people are willing to sign this because they perceive it has no value as opposed to something, you know, they may think does?
Well, I don't know if it opens doors because they perceive it as no value, but I think a lot of people, especially when I make cards for people who have never had cards, as an example, I've made a number of cards for reality television shows, for Pawn Stars, for American Pickers, Auction Kings, and the sort. And these are all people that are generally my generation and grew up where the sports card hobby was extremely popular, late 80s, early 90s, let's say, and for them to have someone make a baseball card, as they would call it, of themselves, you know, they're flattered, And so I think that excitement helps, you know, facilitate them signing the item, where maybe if someone just writes in and says, hey, can I have an 8x10, maybe they may not be as open to that. So I definitely think it opens doors just because of the uniqueness of it, and you're appealing to their ego a little bit. And to answer your other question, yeah, I guess nowadays I do focus more on people who don't have cards. Again, it's in the television and movie realm that don't have a lot of trading cards. And if they do, they're, you know, the packs are very expensive thanks to all these inserts, or old time players that either only had a card or didn't have any cards, maybe had a cup of coffee in the league and weren't around long enough for tops to discover them. Those are the kind of people that are always flattered and many times ask for extra copies after the fact.
And that's what I was going to say. I my assumption would be that a good rule of thumb is when you put together a letter for somebody and you say, hey, I took some time and I made this trading card and I hope you like it. Are you including some extras initially, or are you saying, hey, let me know if you want more? To me, that would make sense for somebody, you know, who wants to start sending out the customs to offer that as a thank you for, you know, signing this one and sending it back to me, and I'd be happy to get you some more. Do you get a lot of people taking you up on that?
Yeah, actually I do. When I send out, I'll usually send them four cards and ask them to keep two and then sign two for us. And more often than not, they do take me up on that and keep the two. Every once in a while, they'll sign them all and send them back because, you know, they don't have any interest in their own autograph themselves or aren't collectors of trading cards. But more often than not, they will keep them and then send a little note thanking. And I always mention that, you know, if they need more, or even if they would like a copy of my Photoshop file of a high-res thing so they can make their own, you know, include their email address, and I'll gladly forward them a copy. I recently had one take me up on that offer. I did a trading card for Paula Deen, and my wife was going to be meeting her in person at a convention, and so made some cards for my wife to take, and she, you know, went up to Paula Deen, got them signed, and was very excited to see them, thought they were the neatest thing. And then the publicist pulled aside and started asking my wife questions about that, and where'd you get this, and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, she had to explain, oh, these are, we made these, we collect autographs, and you know, we just wanted them for our personal collection. And long story short, basically, they thought it was so neat, they asked us to mail them a copy of the original file, not because they were worried about any kind of infringement or anything, but because they actually wanted to make some more themselves. They thought it was such a neat idea from a marketing standpoint.
And I think it truly is, and it's something that a lot of people don't think of, but, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, cheaper and easier to produce than 8x10s and things, and it's not as bulky to mail out. And so from that standpoint, you know, I think a lot of times you may encounter people who say, hey, that's a great idea, and want it. I'll share, you know, from my own custom making experience. I had an interaction with another food network chef. I watch a lot of shows on the Food Network and have a couple favorites, and, you know, unfortunately for me, this ended up being one of my, probably my favorite chefs there, and I made some custom trading cards, sent them off, and I made a set that I've been trying to collect with 50 plus cards in it. That's I call it the Great American set. It's sort of a conglomeration of, you know, politicians and Olympic athletes and you know, a few television and movie folks and comedians, just kind of some people who don't have cards, but Nobel Prize winners, stuff that I would, you know, consider to be great Americans that have made significant contributions but haven't had, you know, a card out there. And so I made one, and I included a Food Network chef in there. And when you spoke about, you know, concerns with trademark stuff, it was one of those interactions where it's a little bit disappointing or deflating because it's one of my favorite chefs. And I got a call, and the call was from the attorney of the chef, and said, you know, hey, I just wanted to find out about these cards, and you know, you can't sell these. And I said, well, I said, you know, I sent two, and said, go ahead and keep one if you want, and just requested one back, you know, signed for my collection. And I said, I actually made it myself. It's something that I created, and I don't sell them. So after having a short conversation, it was obvious that I wasn't manufacturing these cards in mass and, you know, selling them out in public. But I think that that is one consideration to have to look at when you're making these custom pieces. I got sort of the speech of, well, we just have to make sure and be careful because, you know, now they're at the point in their career where they have to be careful of their image and, you know, kind of all this stuff. And I can respect that, but it's the reality of, you know, that's one possibility that could happen. And certainly, you know, what was funny about it was I said, well, you know, what do you think I'll see the cards again or not? And the attorney said, well, I'll talk to the chef and, you know, explain the situation. We just wanted to, you know, verify that you weren't, you know, manufacturing these and selling them and everything. And he said, I'm sure you may see him back. And so sure enough, lo and behold, like, you know, 4 days later in the mail, I get both of them back signed. And so it was the first and the only interaction I've had like that. But I'm curious if that's something that you've run into before. I mean, certainly I think it's always the possibility where people, you know, decide that, you know, they want to control that. And you had a good interaction with Paula Deen in that regard. Have you ever had anybody come back the other way for you?
I can't say that I've had anyone come straight out and say, you know, specifically that I couldn't use an image or something to that extent. When I first began and did a couple of NASCAR things, most of the drivers were very, very good about signing what I had made, and it was basically just a fancied up 3x5 card at the time. Well, it was trading card size, but there weren't any pictures. It had just had their name and a nice little design, and that was it. And I did have one return at the time from Jeff Gordon with a note that says, you know, we don't sign this type of card. And that was it. And at the time, I didn't think too much about it other than, you know, maybe they only sign license cards and respected that decision, and that was fine. I have had recent case where I sent to a reality show celebrity from one of the auction shows called Auction Hunters, and it's a ton, who's a big tattooed guy who does these stories, auction type of things. And I actually had contacted him online through Facebook and had a nice discussion with him. He actually lives in a town that I used to live in, so we were able to talk about that. And I asked if, told him that we had made these custom trading cards for him and his partner on the show, and could we send them? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Here's the mailing address to the production company, send them there. Well, of course, they disappeared once they got to the production company. And I have found that to be the case with a lot of these shows, is once the production company gets involved and gets in the middle, of course, they own the intellectual rights to the trademarks and to their images and et cetera, then those are usually the ones who have the problem with it. The individual people don't care. They're just happy to have fans and their 15 minutes of fame. But, you know, once you get lawyers involved, and it's pretty much done from there.
Yeah, and you know, and I'll agree. I think that brought to mind another story. When I first started making customs, the first thing that I started to do was, you know, when I have a spouse and my spouse sees the time that I spend on a hobby, I was trying to think of ways to try to get her interested or involved. And she's a big fan of watching the show Dancing with the Stars. And so now that the new season just started last night, it's about three seasons ago now. And I said, well, I'm going to make a, you know, set of some custom cards of some dancers and celebrities. And I had kind of decided to do it, I don't know, at least halfway through the season or so. So a lot of the folks had been kicked off. But I thought, well, I'll try it anyway. And so I sent them off, and I sent them to the studio where they shoot the show every week. And I got the three judges back and a couple of dancers, and I want to say like one or two celebrities. So my wife was, you know, she was kind of excited or interested to see that. And so when the next season got ready to start, and that season, the first season that I tried it, I remember that Bristol Palin was one of the celebrities who was dancing. And so then the next season rolls around, and I said, all right, I'm going to be geared up and ready to go ahead of time. So I made a set of all the dancers, the judges, all of the celebrities. As soon as I saw the lineup, got them all off, mailed them all out to individually to the folks at in care of the studio, and I had no problems the previous season, so I thought, great. Well, I go through, I would say, you know, 3/4 of the way through the season, and I haven't seen a single return. And I was like, man. And I had no idea what was going on. Well, I made contact with the studio and talked to a production assistant, and basically they said, well, we don't deliver any mail now. And I was like, wow, okay, well, you know, if they're in limbo somewhere, could you just hit return to sender? I mean, at least I'll get my, you know, self-addressed stamped envelope back, and I'll get the cards back, and, you know, maybe I can try, you know, some other routes to get a few of them signed. And they said, well, you know, we don't, you know, they sort of gave me the speech of like, hey, buddy, we don't know where they are, and we're not going to go looking for them. Which, you know, I mean, again, when you send something off in this hobby, you release it. And if you never see it again, you never see it again. So it wasn't the end of the world. But their explanation to me was that they had a, like an anthrax scare when Bristol Palin was on the show the previous season. And so after that, they made the determination that they weren't delivering any mail anymore. It would sit in the main mail room, and if celebrities or dancers or anybody wanted to go down to get their mail, you know, they could. And, you know, of course, the reality is, well, they're not going to go over there and get any mail. And so so I didn't get a single return from that season. And I think that's one of the things, too, where, like you mentioned, when you get the production company involved, you always run that risk of, you know, somebody running interference in between, as opposed to when you make that direct connection. And so I think one thing that brings to mind, when somebody's looking to get started in customs, you've done a lot of the reality shows and stuff that's out there. Would you agree that probably, you know, the good time is when that show first, you know, gets going and hits the air? You've done Pawn Stars and Storage Wars, and I know you've done American Pickers, but I would say that probably some of those shows have gotten to the stage where those folks aren't as accessible now for autographs based on the popularity of the show. And so kind of the ripe time is early, when a show first gets going.
But yeah, absolutely. First season, just after first season, if they get renewed, is really the ideal time. They're starting to get a little bit of celebrity status nationally, as opposed to just locally. And they're definitely more amicable to signing that kind of thing. They haven't gotten to the stage where they're out doing book tours or publicity appearances, so they have more time to devote to that kind of thing. When I first did Pawn Stars, was able to get them through the mail right away. In fact, was able to send all four personalities in one envelope, and they were opening it up, and all of them signed it, or each of them signed their own card, of course, and then was able to get a couple signed in person on a trip to Vegas. Now I understand that they're not regularly in the shop. I know they do a lot of publicity tours, and Rick does, you know, a lot of book signings. He's got a book out there. So it's as their time is demanded by more different aspects, as they try to broaden their appeal to different people, then, you know, they have less time to sit or to sign an autograph. Same thing with Storage Wars. I did those for them early on, just after the first season, and with the exception of one person, Barry, who no one can find an address for, that you know, all of them signed fantastically in the first season, but that even that's trickled off a little bit with a couple of them as they become more popular and have more demands on their time.
And Barry is the great white whale. I enjoy watching that show, and Barry by far, which I think if you polled most people who watch that show, Barry would be the most entertaining or your favorite, you know, person on the show, far and away probably for everybody. But I've seen that in, we belong to some of the same sites where, you know, people share information, and I know that that's been, he's the great white whale out there, that folks have been able to get autographs from pretty much everybody on that show but Barry, and I think that it'll be a great find the day that somebody, you know, somebody is able to track down, you know, a way to get his signature.
Absolutely. I understand he's doing some type of appearance recently. I was contacted about a week and a half ago on SCN by another guy who's going to the appearance. So worked out a 50-50 deal, and I sent him the customs that I had done. And basically, it's an all-or-nothing shot at this point because I didn't have any more made. And he's trying to get those last few signed. He'll keep a couple for himself and send a couple back to me. So I've got my fingers crossed on finally finishing that set.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, that'll be great. And touching on that, I know that you had mentioned we do some giveaways on the show here and there, and we were going to do a giveaway in this episode. And I know that you mentioned that you had a custom piece that you were willing to donate as a giveaway, which I think is kind of fun because it ties directly in with the episode and from Storage Wars, if I recall. So can you just describe what that is?
Oh, absolutely. I did a nice set of Storage Wars cards and had pretty good success with people signing them, and I happen to have an extra autograph card of Mr. Dave Hester, who you either love him or you hate him, and I'd be happy to donate that to your podcast and let you decide on how to award it to a loyal listener, and hopefully they enjoy it, and don't burn it if they're a fan or if they're a hater of Dave.
At least keep it or at least trade it away if you're not a big fan of Dave's. And Dave is definitely that guy where you love him or hate him. But I think that's fun because he's probably one of the most colorful characters aside from Barry on that show. And what we're gonna do is we're just gonna ask folks that if you're interested, we're gonna let it be out there for a week and give you time to go to Facebook, to our Facebook page for Indie Autographs. If you haven't liked it already, like the page and then just post on there. We'll make the keyword for this episode, Storage Wars. And so you just send us a message on Facebook, post on the wall there the word Storage Wars. We'll wait a week and then we'll randomly select a listener to get that card. And it's fun because I think not only is it another autograph for your collection, if you happen to like the show, great, but it's I think it'll be a good example to show people the potential for custom cards. And again, my own, and I'm sure you share the same insight, that it's a fun and interesting aspect of the hobby. And it's also nice because it lets you it lets you get autographs on something that you wouldn't otherwise be able to get, which is, why I do it, why I think, obviously, as you've described, you do it as well. So I think it's a fun thing. And if you haven't tried it, you should try it. Or, even if you feel like, hey, I don't have the skills or the ability to do it, get with somebody who can help you put together a couple custom pieces. Certainly, you focus on trading cards. It can be adapted to anything from an index card to an 8x10. I've seen people make some pretty crazy custom pieces of just about any shape and size. And so I think it's fun and an interesting way to do it and to get, folks who you otherwise wouldn't be able to get. As we kind of leave that conversation, any plans? What's on the horizon for you for the next custom set? Have you identified something yet?
Well, I haven't yet. I've played around with a couple things based upon some ideas that other forum members have given me. We did a nice custom one for a couple University of Iowa softball players who have major league lineage, if you will. So we did a couple like dual sign things that one gal and her grandfather, we both got them to sign. He had major league experience and she's an all-star softball player. So been playing around with a couple little things like that just for fun, and being living in Iowa myself, that it's kind of hits home with me being a University of Iowa player. But other than that, really waiting for the new TV season to start, tons of new reality shows.
Yep.
I began working on a set for a TV show that my wife and I fell in love with, which was Terra Nova, which is a science fiction show based in, a different universe or what have you. They never really got to the exact description of that. And, of course, just found out 2 weeks ago it was not renewed for the second season. So that plan got scrapped for right now, and hopefully they'll get picked up by another network and I can finish up those customs.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun part about it, is always going out and looking for, you know, the next show or the next thing out there. And I think while we talked a lot about reality shows, that's the other avenue, too, is there's some fun stuff out there that you can take your favorite, whether it's NCIS or Castle or something like that, that you can take your favorite, you know, serial show or sitcom and make your own cards for that as well. So, well, hey, Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about custom cards, and I hope it inspires some people to realize that it, you know, doesn't have to be as difficult as you may think, and certainly it can be a whole lot of fun along the way.
Very good. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, there you have it, folks. You've spent another hour with us on the Indie Autographs podcast. We hope you have learned quite a bit about autograph collecting in general, but hopefully now you're all excited and motivated to get out there and start doing your own custom cards. And so if it's something new for you, then I hope you've learned a little bit in this episode and you're ready to get out there and give it a shot. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you here again next week when we have a new topic and a new exciting interview for you. And until then, again, please feel free to reach us with your comments and feedback at our Facebook page, facebook.com. And Indie Autographs is what you need to search for. Do not forget to take and put your secret code from today's episode in there for a chance to win a custom signed trading card from the Storage Wars show. And then also, please feel free to give us your comments and feedback at Indie, which is INDY, autographs@gmail.com. Thanks so much, folks. We look forward to having you back again next week. And as always, thank you for listening to the Indie Autographs podcast. And let go of